Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today to be here to be recapping week number four, which means we've basically had almost a month of Hallmark Christmas movies. Can you believe it?
Whoa.
Yeah, that's right. I am film critic Rachel Wagner and Cammie's here.
Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Yes. Yeah, we've had almost a month, which is just crazy. When this podcast airs, it'll be just short 5 days of a month of Christmas programming for Hallmark.
Pretty nutty. I still refuse to watch them before Halloween. I'm a Hallmarky through and through, but I will not watch them on Halloween or before Halloween.
Yeah. So you were out. They had two, I think. They had two before. They had one on Halloween Day and then one before it. So
I got caught up.
Yeah.
And it was three, by the way.
Was it three? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Crazy.
Yeah, there were two before Halloween and then one on Halloween. But mm-hmm. I just said, I can't do it. I can't watch a Christmas movie on Halloween night.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. Yeah, what did I do? I think I did end up actually watching it just because I was already getting behind. but I have watched now over 40 Christmas movies, new 2019 already. Which is crazy because of the non-Hallmark and everything like that.
I thought I was on a roll.
Yeah. And I have to say, I think that because last year I felt like Lifetime really stepped it up and was really good.
I didn't see a whole lot of Lifetime last year. I saw Christmas Pen Pals with Niall Mader.
Yeah.
And I really liked that one. But yeah, I have to admit, I'm not a huge Lifetime fan. Mm-hmm. I usually like their Christmas movies, but I just didn't do it last year. And, you know, I've got Charlie Brown Christmas playing on repeat a lot in my house with my kids. You know, I didn't see a whole lot of Lifetime. I just saw that one. But this year, I've seen several Up TV Christmas mm-hmm. movies. And so far, I'm loving them.
Yeah. And, they have been crushing it up to
Yeah. me. And yeah. I've got a couple Lifetime ones recorded that I need to watch. But Hallmark, I'm all caught up.
Yeah, very good. Very good. But yeah, so last year, because Christmas Pen Pals was one of my favorite of the whole season.
Oh.
I thought that movie was so well written and just such
it's
a clever.
Got Niall in it.
Well, yeah, he was never more charming, in my opinion. He was great in that movie. And I just thought the whole concept of this whole town writing each other letters was just such a charming concept. I really liked Sarah Drew, who I'd never, because I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, I'd never seen her before, and she was the best.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward, to her new movie coming up. And so, I don't know, they did a really good job last year. Of course, everyone knows I love Christmas Perfection. They had a bunch of other ones that I liked. But then this year, I think that Hallmark has done much better than Lifetime. And I don't know why. What exactly has happened. But I don't know. I just feel like there's been very few misses for me so far. I really didn't like the Merry Christmas Match. That was a miss for me.
I was probably 60-40 or 70-30 on that one, but the larger percentage was a miss.
Yeah,
there were parts that I really liked and I really thought were great, but
yeah, it was not my fave. But then I did not like the Christmas in July entry, the Christmas Camp. That was not good, in my opinion. But
yeah, I didn't care for that one.
Yeah, we'll talk about one that I didn't like today. But just to preface, every other one I've liked to one degree or another.
Well, there you go.
So anyway, we are talking about this weekend's the extended weekend starting on Thursday. Of course, now we're going to be getting them all in one weekend, which is a little bit of a bummer. But as a podcaster. It's not quite as nice for us. But anyway, we're talking about the four movies from this extended weekend that aired. And of course, we look forward to hearing all of the listener feedback, and let us know what you think. And
brace for impact.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
So the first movie that aired on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, it stars Tamara Mowry Housley, Brooks Darnell, Barry Bostwick, and it is A Christmas Miracle. And that's ever optimistic single mom Emma Sanderson is looking for a Christmas miracle to write about for the lifestyle magazine at which she has landed a temporary job. While following her lead on the story, Emma discovers unexpected romance with a supportive colleague and takes it upon herself to bring about a Christmas miracle for a lonely street musician. So, Cammie, what was your overall thoughts on this one?
Yeah.
Extended sigh. That's her overall thoughts.
We're only doing audio, but if you guys could see my face right now, I have a very tortured smile. It's with you hardies out there. You know the smile that Elizabeth would do in season one when she's dealing with Rosemary, that yeah. full frontal teeth thing. That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. So
I was bored. Yeah,
it was so bored.
I was bored, and I hate saying that because I love Tamara and I love Barry Boswick, and I thought that the premise was sweet, but I was bored.
Yeah. So I say this outright. It took me 4 days to watch this. I kept falling asleep because it was so dull to me, and I wasn't even that tired. And I found this, and you know, I was thinking that I don't think it's any of the cast's problem. I think the cast was all fine. There's just, you just can't make board meeting after board meeting after board meeting interesting. I'm sorry. They're not interesting in real life when you have to go to them. They're not interesting in Hallmark movies. And, you know, I was thinking a lot about this recent movie that you and I both saw with The Christmas Jars.
Yeah.
So that it was also about a journalist, and the scenes in the newsroom, I guess, for lack of a better word, were absurd. Like there was no realism at all. And
were they ever?
But I would take that a million times over what we saw here, because at least I felt like that movie knew that it was sort of ridiculous.
They were doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Like he was like, especially her boss was way over the top and silly.
He was
silly.
A caricature boss. Yeah.
Yeah. And like her work colleagues were kind of funny and trying to be silly. And sometimes it worked out better than other times, but rather than this, who everything was taken very seriously. There was no attempt at humor within the office. I didn't feel, and it was just like, it felt completely.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Completely absurd, completely ridiculous. This is not how, I mean, I've just done a little bit of freelancing for the Deseret News, and this is not how this is all done. And so it was just because there was no attempt to be funny or to just enjoy it at all. It was just so dull. And I don't know. I just couldn't get past the boardroom meetings. It was brutal.
Well, Well, and it was just, it was slow paced too. Yeah. Not only was there board meeting after board meeting, but just this discovery and this, it was very slow paced. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Did the chemistry click with you between the two of them?
I mean, it wasn't the worst.
No, it wasn't the worst I've seen.
But it wasn't, certainly, it didn't save it, that's for sure.
It's funny because at the very end of the movie, I almost thought that they weren't going to have them kiss. Yeah. And I was doing the tweet fest and I was ready. My fingers were ready to tweet, no kiss, bold choice.
Yeah.
I was right. Because I did not feel the kiss coming on at all. And I honestly thought that he was not going to kiss her.
Yeah. Like, I mean, again, to compare it to the Christmas jars, where there was all that boardroom stuff and newsroom stuff, there was definite chemistry between her. And granted, he wasn't in the newsroom himself, but there was more chemistry between her and her colleagues than there was. Like just friend chemistry,
yeah,
between those, and it just, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily the actor's fault. It's just the script didn't give them enough to do to be interesting people, to feel connected, to feel. I mean, there was, I don't know, it and like his whenever they were together, it feels like almost always her son was there. Which
was sweet,
yeah.
But it doesn't make for heat.
Yeah. You
know? So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that Barry Bostwick was the best part of the movie, but since he is in, been in a lot this season, he was in a movie for Lifetime. I can't think of it all anymore.
Well, while you're thinking about it, Postables are going to love him because he's on Signed, Sealed, Delivered as Rita's dad.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's why you got me.
Yeah, he's delightful. He was also played in this little film called Santa Girl, which you can watch on Netflix. We talked about it in the Netflix and Disney Plus episode we just did. It's called Santa Girl, and it was all done by students. Like everything was all done by students of Shenandoah University, like the costumes, the lighting, the everything. So it had a real, and he plays Santa in the movie. It's about Santa's daughter, and it had a
Was it decent?
I think so. It's very low budget, very low budget. So you'd have to set your expectations accordingly. But there was an energy to it. There was a fun to it. The story was cute, I thought. So I enjoyed it, but you know, if you're expecting Hallmark level of like slickness, it's not there. But
right.
Anyway, it's Christmas in Louisiana. That's the one. Written by our friend Elise Murray, and or co-written by her, and he plays the Jana Creamer's grandpa, and that was actually really, really cute. And so he's in that, and he's also in Santa Girl. So I feel like I've gotten a lot of Barry Bostwick this month. So I'm less like, I don't know. It was just kind of like, well, this, I know how he could be used right. And, but he was the best part about the movie. His plot with his daughter was sweet enough. You know,
now that is, I will say that the ending, I was in tears.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful ending. So I didn't care for the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
But that ending, it caught my attention and I started crying.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was definitely the best part about the movie.
Yeah. I mean, the hearing the violin and the fact that you didn't see her right away. I love that. Yeah. I went to a Josh Groban concert once, and he's my favorite singer. Mm-hmm. So this was, you can imagine my excitement. I was just, ooh.
Yeah.
And on the stage, there was a backdrop with clouds. It was all clouds. Uh-huh. And so the lights go down, it's completely dark. And then the lights on the stage come up only on the backdrop. And it's got kind of sunset colors.
Yeah.
And then it gets a little brighter and brighter. And we And at first you only hear him. You only hear him. And then about the second or third phrase of the song, he rises up on this rising platform, and there he comes up to the microphone, and we all just went crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a power in hearing something first,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not showing it right away. There is a huge power in hearing something first. And so hearing Silent Night, the first song that he taught her on the violin as she walked up, and just that tiny little smile, that, it was beautiful.
That ending
clinched it. And I just went, okay, well done.
Yeah. And I mean, you can do the workplace comedy and you can do it well. I mean, there's so many examples in Hallmark, but I don't know. I think it had its issues, but with love Christmas, or was that it?
Christmas with love.
Yeah. The one with Amelia Ullerup.
Oh yeah. I think that's With Love Christmas.
Yeah. That was a good one. I thought of it, barring the terrible, the terrible ice skating scene was really bad, but outside of that, the whole workplace dynamic was done very well there. Also, I think the other one with Amelia Ullerup with Paloha, Hearts of Christmas, that's another workplace one that I think was really good, had nice
that
heart.
that was a tugging one. Oh my word. Yeah. You bring babies into it, of course it's gonna be a winner.
Yeah. Well, and did you know that that you probably did, because did you know that Chris McNally's in that movie?
Yes, I did.
It's like a secret sighting. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. We are so delighted to be working with Glamour Jewelry Box, which is a really great thing, especially for this time of the year when you're trying to finish off that ensemble that you have for the holiday parties, other things going on. You want that perfect accessory to go with your outfit. You get every month a necklace, set of earrings, and a bracelet. And they try to be on trend, but not too weird. Cammie, you got to see this jewelry. What did you think?
I thought it was gorgeous. It was just the right touch of classy, but different. I especially loved the bracelet because it had this kind of twisted, interconnected quality. And so I can't wait to wear it. This is gonna, it's my first little bit of Hallmarkies merch that I'm getting as an official podcast member. So I'm excited, and it's gonna be, I can't wait. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
It's really cool, and you get $5 off on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and enter Hallmarkies at checkout, and you can get your first box. So, Godwink Christmas, Meant for Love, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, of course, the stars Kathy Lee Gifford, Cindy Busby, Ben Hollingsworth. So, this is a new story, and last year we got the one with Paul Campbell and Kimberly Susted. And
how
did you like that one? Were you a fan?
I did. I didn't care for it as much as some other ones, but I haven't had a chance to go back and watch it this year. I recorded it. Mm-hmm. I saw that it was coming on. Like, I need to make sure I watch this one again this year, because I want to, now seeing this one, I want to kind of give it another chance, because I wasn't as crazy about it as I thought maybe I would be, but I wanted to go back and give it another chance and see if I liked it better the second
time. Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was sweet. It was one of my top 10 last year. But I thought they had kind of a weak year last year. Like I said, I thought that Lifetime was much better. I'd say that they're stronger this year than last year. The Hallmark slate, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know. Christmas in Love was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
That was my favorite last year.
Was it? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Who are you talking to here?
So, anyway, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was cute. I liked had some really nice moments. And I thought Kathy Lee did a lot better than I expected her to do. And So yeah, so now we have the second one, and it's multiple coincidences and a chance meeting bring Alice and Jack, two strangers from very different family backgrounds, together for a weekend wedding celebration. Encouraged by her family led by mom Olga, Alice slowly lets go of her reservations about meeting someone new following a failed long-distance relationship. Meanwhile, more and more Godwinks, those coincidences that aren't really coincidences at all, bring Alice and Jack closer as each attempts to balance the newfound attraction with their complicated professional lives. So one question I have for you, Cammie, is, do you think that since they are naming these Godwinks, of course, that's the name of the book and the whole concept and everything, do you think that they should just embrace and make them full-on faith-based films?
That's a good question. Part of me would say yes, because I'm very faith-based myself. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I actually thought about this. I think that it's nice for there to be a place for God in everybody's life, even if you're not ultra religious, there's a place for God in everybody's life, and God has a hand in your life, even if the relationship that you have with him is just on a personal level and not on a religious level. So
yeah,
part of me says yes, I'd like it to be faith-based. But on the other hand, I also think that it's kind of nice to just make it seem that God is universal, and you don't have to be ultra religious to have his hand in your life.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a good point. I just feel like by naming it Godwinks, you're already kind of ostracizing the people that aren't interested in faith-based films. So why not? There's so little that comes out at Christmas time that is actually faith-based, and that's weird and ironic, I guess. But
that
why not,
true.
If you're going to name it Godwinks, why not go all the way? And you don't have to, I mean, you could, there's just like little tweaks I think they could do to both of these, to just add a prayer here, add a little, to make it like an outright faith-based film. And I don't know, I just feel like this sort of havesy doing it is a little weird, because I don't think it's winning over people that aren't religious that like these movies, which we have many friends who do. I don't think they're going to be won over to this film, but then you're not quite providing sort of the unique experience to people that are religious that would love to have a faith-based film. So I don't know. It's just something I was thinking about, but I actually really enjoyed this. I liked it a lot more than I was expecting. And I don't know, because I liked the one last year, so I don't know why I had low expectations. But I thought that it was really sweet and felt authentic to me and didn't feel really that manipulative. I felt everything seemed fairly likely, fairly realistic to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really good.
The one thing that I had trouble with was Barclay Hope passing off as a Middle Eastern man. It's like, wait a minute. Sorry, bud. You don't look the least bit Middle Eastern.
Yeah, that's definitely fair. I didn't think of that, but you're right.
I still think he played the part marvelously. I just didn't buy that he was Middle Eastern. It was like, Nabi? What? What's his name? Where is that? You know, so
yeah.
Where is that from? There, for me, there was a scene or two that were a little stiff. For instance, when Alice is standing in front of the space that's being leased and talking with her friend about whether or not she's going to lease it, I thought that was a little stiff, but that's basically my only complaint. One thing that I thought Cindy did really well was that dizzy spell when she was with Nabi. I thought I thought that was a really spot on overcoming of a dizzy spell. And she made it look very authentic, very natural. And the funny thing is, I really connected with this character personally because last Christmas I got sick. Mm-hmm. And I was the one who was telling my husband, no, I'll get checked out after Christmas. I was having some very severe abdominal pain. Mm. And I said, no, I'll get checked out after Christmas. And he said, you're going. And he took me to a clinic and they sent me to the ER, and it turned out I had a hernia and it was almost strangulated. And if I hadn't had surgery, I may have died. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah, so maybe it, you can be submit your story as a God wink story.
There we go.
But just okay. This week I had an incident where I had thought to call someone to help someone, and I kind of felt like, oh, I don't know if I should do that or not. And it was just when they obviously not I had no idea, but it was just when they needed that. And, you know, I think we all have those moments, and you can attribute them to God if you want. I certainly do. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, and other people feel like it's kismet or just nice things that happen, and that's fine too. But I think all of us have those instances where, whatever we believe in brings us together just the right moment to help somebody. And I really liked the whole, I thought that Ben and Cindy were really great together. I like just even little scenes like when they were driving were really yeah. charming, and they did a good job, and that could have been really boring. I mean,
we've talked about that.
yeah. And you know, the whole scenes at the wedding and even just outside their little hotel rooms, that sort of little banter and that little was nice. And I thought the ending was really nice, you know, with him with, it was like Love Actually with those cards, you know?
Yeah, right.
that was great.
And then it turns out that it's Nabi because he comes in the door.
yeah. That was really good. And I liked the whole thing worked with her. Is that her cousin who really actually wanted to run the store? Was that her sister?
It was her cousin's wife. Yeah.
Cousin's wife.
It was her cousin's wife.
Right.
Okay. So speaking of the cousin and his wife, when they're doing the caroling and they stop off at his house and he's talking
yeah.
to her.
Yeah.
Do you think the family humming in the background was a little over the top?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Fair.
Okay. It's not yeah. just me. I was like, okay, that's a little yeah. much. The humming.
I agree. But, that's true.
But I thought the best scene, if we're not getting into the romantic, I thought the best scene between the two of them, between uh-huh. the cousin and his wife, was when they're on the phone and he says, hey, Mario's sick. Can you go get him? And she walks away and just lays into him, into yeah. the phone. And, you know, and it's funny because I even wrote in my notes, a simple no would have been fine. No, I can't go get him.
Yeah. Well, and she said, you're going to have to take over this time, which I think is actually really true to, I mean, I'm not married. What do I know? But I think that that's probably actually pretty true to marriage. You know, that sometimes you have to say, sorry, you're on deck.
I've had to play tag team with my husband a lot. For instance, with doing the podcast, yeah. I say, okay, I'm gone for an hour. Your turn. Yeah. You got yeah. this? Okay, good. Bye.
Which I really admire. I think that's amazing. That's a strong marriage to me. I really admire that.
And it's good. So, it's good. Yeah. And it's really good that the child rearing and the child yeah. caring is not laid on one parent all the
right.
time.
Right.
And so, you know, it's good for kids to get yeah. to know both parents on that kind of level.
Well, and he was really respectful of her dreams and her desires to, you know, to run the store. And I never felt any real resistance on that level, which was nice. And
no, I think he was just clueless.
Yeah. but yeah,
I think he was just a little clueless.
but I also, I did think Cindy was really good at portraying the, the shakes or the, I don't know what the proper term is for multiple sclerosis.
Tremor.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The tremor. I thought she did a really good job with that. And I don't know, I could see why, cause sometimes when our leads are usually there's some kind of lie, like, how could you lie to me about, you know, and then they're separated for a time, which I hate that. And it can feel so artificial, like just have a 5 mm-hmm. minute conversation and it'll all be fine.
Right.
But in this case, like I totally could understand why she would just kind of feel like this relationship is just starting. Why would you want to start a relationship with somebody? Obviously it's a wrong thought, but I can see why she would think that of, why would you want to start a relationship with somebody
who's sick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought it made sense. And I mean, I still don't buy Kathy Lee Gifford as someone named Olga. I'll never buy that. But I thought she did a good job again. She's, I mean, for someone who's like a host, she's pretty decent.
Speaking of names, what was Ben's name?
Jack?
Jack!
Yeah, Jack.
It seems to be Hallmark's favorite name. There's a Jack in every movie almost. It's so funny.
That is
funny. So funny because I hear the name Jack. I'm like, oh, there it is again. Jack, yeah. There it is again. You know?
Right.
I think someone's husband has got to be named Jack because is it, well, Michelle Vickery's?
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But I do have to say the poster for this movie was absolutely atrocious. It looked like Kathy Lee Gifford was like an angel, like,
oh, up there in the corner. Yeah.
It looks so bad. So bad. But I did really enjoy it. And
did you love the fact that it was based on a true story?
Yeah, it was, it does make it better. There's no doubt.
It totally makes it better. Go ahead. I interrupted
you. No, I mean, and just seeing the picture at the end, and it makes everything feel more authentic. The fact that it's based on a true story, for sure.
I thought the banter was so clever and quick.
Yeah.
It was really, really quick. And that was something that I thought was very natural. I loved the feeling of the family. I thought that they had a really great rapport. It did not feel artificial at all. And one of the things that I really loved was the stepfather played by Tom Butler. I've loved him since the 90s. I saw him in an early Hallmark film called Ronnie and Julie. Hallmark did this whole thing where they took famous stories and made them into modern teenage films. Uh-huh. So they took Romeo and Juliet and they did Ronnie and Julie.
I haven't even heard of that.
And they took Robin Hood and they did Robin of Locksley and they took Annie Oakley and turned it to Annie O.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a great series that they did, but Tom Butler played Julie's dad in Ronnie and Julie, and he did it so well, and I've loved him ever since. That movie was my introduction to Garwin Sanford as well.
Interesting.
But so every time I see Tom Butler now, I just think, oh, there he is, there's Tom. but when Alice and Mom are talking about her setting Alice up, and Olga says, what kind of mother would do that? And Edgar, Tom Butler's character, just walks past and says, you every 3 or 4 months? Yeah. Well, so I'm right on schedule. You know, it was just fun.
Yeah.
You know, it was fun. Cute. It was quick. It was natural. And I just thought, yeah. And I love Ben. I love Ben. Every character that he has ever played, I have just adored.
Yeah.
So I thought once again he did amazingly, and he really uses that amazing and natural charm to just make all of us fall in love with all of his characters. If he had just been clean shaven, I would have fallen completely in love with him.
Yeah.
I just don't like scruff. That's just me.
Yeah. I'm going to say I'm not a huge fan. I'm definitely team clean shaven as well. But I give this 4 crowns. I really liked it. I thought it was very sweet. So what would you give it?
Oh, I'd probably give it 4 as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 4.
Well, let us know in the comment section what you think about this whole discussion we had about should they just make them all out faith-based films, or do you like this sort of balance that they have created? I'm curious to know people's thoughts on that, because I haven't decided. I just think it's an interesting discussion to have. So, all right. Well, let's talk about Christmas Under the Stars. This is our reteaming of Jesse Metcalf and Autumn Reeser from Country Wedding. But Christmas Under the Stars, this is on Hallmark Movie Channel, regular Hallmark Channel. And it also starred Clark Peters. And it's when Nick, a career-focused investment banker, is fired from his high-powered firm at Christmas time. He takes a job at a Christmas tree lot owned by a warm-hearted widower. There he meets Julie, an astronomy teacher who's always looked to the stars for hope. As the Christmas spirit washes over him and he begins falling for Julie, the once self-centered Nick discovers the joy of helping others. When he learns that Julie and the tree lot owner are facing hard times, Nick strives to end their troubles in time for them all to share a Christmas under the stars. So, what was your overall thoughts about this one?
My overall was that it was a sweet enough story, and it was nice, and it was good, and there were lots of parts that were well done, but it just didn't have that oomph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was something missing. There was something missing under the surface there. And I don't know exactly what it was, but the chemistry between Autumn and Jesse was so strong in A Country Wedding,
mm-hmm.
that it seemed a little held back, mm-hmm. in this one. I thought he was great with the kid. Mm-hmm. I thought that Clark Peters was very endearing and sweet and charming. It just, I don't know. There was just some kind of oomph between the two of them that was missing. Mm-hmm. So do you like my technical term there?
Yeah, I do. And I know it seems like most people seem to agree with you. And
oh, good.
Just from, or at least most of my friends seem to agree with you. And that's cool. I think that's fine. I can understand, but I actually really loved this one. I thought it was great. I didn't have any problem with chemistry. And I mean, I've been very critical of Jesse Metcalf's role on Chesapeake Shores. Not a fan. So I'm by no means some like Metcalf head or something, but I don't know. I felt it between them for me. And he's kind of the lead in this movie, which is unusual.
He is.
I would say even like if I was going to say who's the number one in the call sheet, I think he is in this case, which is a little bit interesting and kind of an interesting take on the bad man of business, you know, and then maybe that's something they could have done a little bit better, because I don't know if I completely bought that he would take this job in the first place. But, you know, as this, he had just been fired. Maybe he should have been a little more desperate. They could have done a little bit better with that. But I really thought, I felt the friendship between him and Clem was really nice and really sweet. And I did like the chemistry between him and Autumn's character. I do think that it was ridiculous of her character to get upset with him.
Oh my gosh.
Like, that didn't make any sense. Like, just because other people in his vague field of finance, you know, I mean, it's like getting mad at somebody because a totally different branch of financing denied your denied your mortgage or something. You know what I mean? It's
so ridiculous. I think that's one of the things that ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, are you kidding me? You're mad at him because he at one point invested money for a company that is now cheating you. What?
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't even say, well, you know, when she was talking about the problem, all he said was, how can I help? He didn't say, well, they're right because they did this and this. And yeah. Well, yeah, you shouldn't be complaining because this and this. He didn't say any of that. He said, how can I help? And then she finds out this tiny little thread-like connection.
Well, and it wasn't even it was just his vague field. You know,
he did accounts for the company, but he just made deals.
Yeah.
He made deals and invested some money for them. He had no idea what their business dealings were. So you have this thread-like connection between Nick and the company.
I mean,
she completely blows up at him. I said, are you joking me?
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair. Like, it's kind of to be similar to, since she's a teacher, you kind of similar to, I had a bad experience with the superintendent and you work for that school system, therefore you're the worst. Like, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. And
Or I had a terrible seventh grade teacher, so that automatically makes you horrible.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So it's just, yeah.
I did think it was really funny that Clem kept sending him Christmas trees. Like how many Christmas trees?
ends up with four.
Yeah. And I don't know, he found all his, I think he ended up at least decorating them to some level.
He decorated all four. I will say this, the second time around, I liked it better because I watched it twice.
Uh-huh.
And I did discover a lot of things that I had missed the first time. So there were things about it that I liked after watching it through the second time that I had missed the first time. I will say that When Calls the Heart fans should really love this movie because, number one, we had Murphy. We had the guy who was in love with Katie Yost, which I'm so sad that his character left.
Oh, that's his dad, right? Plays his dad.
Murphy was his friend who got the junior partnership.
Oh, right. And that guy. Okay. Right.
So that's Murphy from When Calls the Heart. And I just thought he was only in two scenes, but I thought he did great.
Uh-huh.
I thought he did his scenes really well. And then Kringles.
Yeah.
Kenny Hardy loved Christmas in Love with Daniel Lissing, which was my favorite last year. And so Kringles, yay!
Yeah. So I don't know. I liked the fact that it was almost as much about the relationship between Clem and Jesse's character as it was between the romance. Maybe that's, I don't know. And I liked the fact that I loved Clem so much, and I loved them, and I felt like they both kind of helped each other equally. Like, it was the real Christmas spirit between them.
It really was. Clem's face when he's talking about when they eloped to Nick, and Nick says, why didn't you just sleep in the car? Why didn't you just sleep in the car? And Clem's face just, okay. And then he says, if I have to explain that to you, you haven't a romantic bone in your body. Oh, my word.
Yeah.
That was so funny. I was dying laughing. And that was one thing, despite the fact that I just think it needed a little extra shove in a couple of departments, the wit was there. And there were some very cute moments. The whole conversation about the being demoted to marshmallows when Nick first meets Julie and Matt, like, Wait, I thought I was in charge of hot chocolate. Well, you've been demoted to marshmallows. Well, then I quit. You know, it's fun.
That's a good
you know,
point.
It's fun. Yeah. It's natural. It's back and forth. It's what you do when there's a kid around. You know, yeah. It's and I just, you know, being well, among the four kids, I appreciate yeah. that.
Them surprising you know? Clem with the you know with keeping the lot open was really sweet and
decorating his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nice. And so yeah, I really did really enjoy it. And so I'd give this one 3.75 crowns.
I'm gonna go 3.5.
And we should also mention her being a single mom, not even a divorced mom, but just a single mom who fostered to adopt. That's very unusual. And so that was kind of refreshing as well.
I loved that.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved that she adopted somebody that was not a member of her family.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Picture of Perfect Christmas,
right,
John Corr's character had adopted yeah. the child, but it was his nephew. And I'm just noticing, I don't know what Hallmark is doing, but all of a sudden we've got adoption stories yeah. everywhere. You know, it's
we'd like to take a second to talk about our second sponsor of this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Skylight Frame, and it's a really cool thing that they do. We've seen lots of digital frames before, but this is a unique one where you can actually have people email you photos directly to the frame. So you could be sitting there watching your pictures go by, and boom, surprise picture from somebody in your family, which I think is such a fun new idea. And you don't even need any kind of USB port or anything like that to add photos. It can be done all digitally from your phone, from your computer, all that stuff, which is really cool. And you think of how many pictures that we take on our, you know, Instagram and everything, and those can just be uploaded immediately to the frame. I think it looks really nice. A 10-inch touchscreen. It has a black frame, white mat. It just will go with anything in your house, and it'd just be really novel and sweet. So if you're looking for a great gift for somebody in your family, this is something that they, I think, will really enjoy. And right now, you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. You go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. And so $10 off, that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, and enter code Hallmark, not Hallmarkies. Did you say what your score was?
I think 3.5.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah. Last we'll talk about Right Before Christmas. And so this one, it was written by Neil and Tippi Dabrowski, who are two of great Hallmark writers.
And
it has a ton of talent in it. You've got Tori DeVito, Chad Michael Murray, Grant Shaw, Lolita Dobovich, and Drew Seeley. And the movie centers around a recently single Jessica who sends Christmas cards to people who have impacted her life. The aunt who raised her, her younger brother in the military. So Madison Smith's also in this.
I was about to say, don't forget Madison Smith.
a pop star who was part of the soundtrack of her life. The music teacher who inspired her, and the best friend who always tells the truth. And so what was your overall, this was definitely something a little bit different, I think, from Hallmark. What was your overall thoughts on it?
This was my favorite one of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And also Jeff Gustafson from mm-hmm. Signed, Sealed, Delivered. He played Drew Seeley's brother. And I thought the dynamic between the two of them was adorable. I thought that they did a really good job. So yeah, this one was my favorite one of the weekend. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I thought it was incredible what they did with it. And they gave so many nods to so many causes. You got the orphans, which once again is the whole adoption thing. And then we find out that Chad's character was adopted. by his mother. And we've got the military, which is so important to recognize and acknowledge how important they are in our lives. And then you've got the written word, which can mean so much in this day of tweets and whatever. It's I know that's terrible for a podcaster to say, but
yeah, tread lightly there.
I'm sorry, but
just kidding.
You gotta admit the written word is so powerful.
Yeah.
And so I really, really liked this one. It was, yeah, like you said, it was different.
Yeah.
You know, it was different. It wasn't your typical love story.
Yeah. So, I also agree. Yeah. I have little nitpicks here and there. I thought that, Chad Michael Murray's character was a little clingy and kind of weird at first. I was like, this is a little Hallmark of horror for me at first. Like, I know, and she's even like, I've got my pepper spray, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm like, I don't know. He was just a little lingering, I think, at certain points. Like, and then I also felt like the Drew Seeley plot, it felt a little bit like the whole like brother thing felt really awkward to me. And I don't know. I still like the movie a lot, but those would be my two. To me, there was just something that was a little awkward to me about that storyline. And I do think that it's just because you're dealing with a TV movie and you don't have the time that you have in something like Love Actually, some parts felt a little rushed. But so those would be my little nitpicks. But overall, I thought it was really romantic and really sweet. And the main plot line with Tori and Chad Michael Murray was a lot of swoon-worthy moments. And it was really nice. And I also really liked the whole plot with her aunt and that dog. That was really sweet. I really enjoyed that.
My nitpick, if we're going to do nitpicks, what Christmas guru dates a bah humbug? You know
what I mean? Yeah,
it's funny because that guy who played her ex-boyfriend, he was Sir Lionel, who ends up marrying Elizabeth's older sister Viola,
uh-huh,
on When Calls the Heart. And I just thought it was funny. He's playing the same stuffed shirt. You know? he was a stuffed shirt in When Calls the Heart. Now he's another stuffed shirt.
I didn't really understand.
What Christmas guru would date somebody who hates Christmas?
Well, really? They said they'd only been dating for 3 months.
I know.
So they had never experienced Christmas together.
That's fair.
The thing is that I didn't understand why they kept bringing up that he's an optometrist. Don't really understand why that's funny, because he's just got a job. Like, I don't really get why that was, because it wasn't like the character was like, oh yeah, I'm an optometrist, I'm a doctor or whatever. He literally corrected every single time anybody said anything like that. So I thought that was sort of a weird joke. I didn't really get it, why that was repeated multiple times throughout the movie. Oh, he's not a doctor. What? It was weird to me.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I think it was just kind of poking it at him, you know, because mm-hmm. he was being a jerk. Like, and you know, the waiter called him doctor, and so
yeah,
he's not a doctor, he's an optometrist.
Yeah, it's an optometrist.
You know, she was mad. I will say this. I was watching this movie and I called two lines. Mm-hmm. Verbatim. It was just a fun little moment for me. So when Carter, Madison's character, is trying desperately to flirt mm-hmm. with the other private, and then she walks away, I was doing my workout actually while I was watching it, and I went smooth. And yeah, then his friend comes up and goes smooth. And I went, oh yeah. And then when Chad's character is taking photos of that proposal, And then she said, the bride is talking about how you're going to have a blind date with my bridesmaid. And he goes, what? And I said, what just happened? And he said, then he said, what just happened? Like, yes, I called it. So yeah. that was funny. I loved that. One other thing that I really appreciated. So I don't know how familiar you are with theater terms, uh-huh. but there's a blocking term called a countercross,
uh-huh.
where the actors basically switch places and they try to make it look natural. And in several shows and movies lately, I've noticed some really awkward countercrosses that says, oh, the director told me to move, so I'm moving. Like, ah! Mm-hmm. And it really bothers me as an actor. But in here, it was when Tori's character and the ex-boyfriend are talking when he comes in to the music shop to try to get another chance with mm-hmm. her. And she picks something up to go put it on the shelf, and he kind of walks around her trying to think of how best to start the conversation. And I just went, oh, that was good. Mm-hmm. That was a very fluid movement.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. So,
yeah. I mean, of the multiple storylines, I really liked Carter and Angie, I think was the name of the private, but they made Madison Smith in the private, I thought was very sweet and very well done. And also kind of, I felt like the very honest about like their insecurities about so many different things. Like they felt like very honest characters. And then I also really liked, like I said, her aunt and the Grant Shaw and character and the dog and everything. That was really cute. I thought that really worked. I really liked Tori and Chad in their role. Like it's at first it started kind of weird for me, but then I totally bought it. I loved the fake kissing scene. That was great.
Hour 9 minutes in.
Yeah.
The first kiss was an hour and 9 minutes in. I took note.
Yeah. And I liked her BFF at the store. I thought that was fun. That was a nice BFF character. And the only thing that, like I said, I didn't like the boy band plot. That to me was awkward and just, I didn't care for it. But other than that, I think it worked for me. And so I really enjoyed it. I give it 4 crowns.
I'm going to give it 4.6. Maybe even 4.7. There was very little that was wrong with it. One thing I have to say, when Carter is using German to try to flirt with Angie, my friends in college and I, my sophomore year, one of my friends was an exchange student in Germany, so she spoke German, and then another one of my friends spoke French really well, and we had this joke that if my friend who spoke German said the most loving thing possible to in German, that it would still sound like she was shouting at them. But if the guy said the ugliest, most hateful thing to somebody in French, it would still sound like he was asking her out. So when he was trying to flirt with German, it just made me laugh because flirting with German, it's not exactly a romantic language, so it's not gonna work. But the oranges that he made into a snowman, very smooth move. Very smooth.
Yeah. So, all right, well, good. So we did ask our Twitter handle. Make sure you're following us at Hallmarkies Pod on Twitter. We asked people to vote of which of the four that they preferred. And they said, actually, Christmas Under the Stars, 44%. So, Mandy victory right before Christmas at 29 and God Winks at 21. So there you go. We have some comments because I asked them to explain why. And we have Hotline to Hallmark. She says, right before Christmas is the one I liked most, though each movie was good. I liked the idea of the five cards. The different stories were interesting. The whole cast was strong. Though Chad and Tori didn't have many scenes together, their chemistry was great. I mean, and that's sort of a downside of this type of storytelling, is that you aren't going to have, that's why I said I felt it was a little bit rushed, because you don't have a full-length feature film to tell all these different storylines, so that's just the way it's going to be. So then we have
Heather, can't go wrong when he quotes "It's a Wonderful Life" to her, though.
Oh, yeah,
you
know that was cool. I forgot about that.
That's gonna clear up all of the chemistry problems right there, baby.
Right. I wasn't a huge fan of the whole she thinks he's dating that other woman that he's taking the photos for. I'm like, come on, he's a photographer. He was clearly, you know, I don't know.
At least there was a misunderstanding with both of them.
Yeah, that's true.
If there's going to be a misunderstanding, at least there was a misunderstanding with both of them. So
don't
it was
believe
fair.
Long distance hugs. When you see a hug from a distance, it's always a goodbye hug. Always. It's always in these movies.
For life.
Yes. So Heather Barker, she says, God Winks was incredible. The preview didn't do it justice, which I do agree there.
I agree.
The first 25 minutes of the other and landed on this one. I felt like falling in love again. So that is something interesting that we had on Sunday, because people could basically choose, unless you're covering it for a podcast, you could choose which one you wanted to watch. They're on the same day now. But Michelle Benson says, I thought right before Christmas, God Winks 2 and Christmas Under the Stars were all strong. Christmas Under the Stars was my favorite. It was really heartfelt and I loved Clem. Also extra points for having Julie be the one to ask Nick out. So that's an interesting point.
Yes, we didn't cover that. I thought that scene was done very well, because you could see her nervousness, but her determination to get it out.
Yeah, that was good. Lauren Eagle says, right before Christmas was my favorite because Chad Michael Murray is a total charmer. The chemistry was great, and I loved interconnected romances. Godwink was second. It was really heartfelt, and I enjoyed the storyline more than the first Godwink movie. And a couple, Jess, our friend Jess, she says, I liked the different stories of Wright, but it jumped so much I never connected with the characters. Loved the cards aspect. Godwinks was my winner. Great chemistry. I felt genuinely moved. Started a little slow, but I was totally invested by the end. Plus it's based on a real couple. Some different thoughts going on there. So let us know what you think of all the different things we talked about. We always appreciate your feedback in the comment section or on Twitter. We love hearing that. So Cammy, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Cammy Drama Girl. Cammy spelled K-A-M-I. On Facebook, I have my Hooked Hardy Facebook page, and my blog is hookedhardy.com.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So make sure to check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast, the Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all over social media and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel and consider becoming a patron. Today was Thank Your Patrons Day. So we want to make sure to shout out that we are so grateful for every single one of our patrons. They help us do what we're able to do. So if you have,
we love you.
Yes, we love you so much. Thank you so much for sponsoring the podcast. And then also consider our merch store, which has really, really adorable designs from artist Jessica Miller, exclusive to our store. Also, we have lots of other stuff for the Hardy and the Hallmarky of your life. So definitely please check that out. The links will be in the description. So we are going to be posting a lot the next 2 weeks. There are going to be multiple days where we're going to have an interview and a recap in the same day. So this is going to be a very busy time. There's so many movies over the Thanksgiving week. So it's going to be great. So make sure you're following us, that you're keeping up, because it's going to be a smorgasbord of content.
Seven movies to be exact.
Yeah. Plus off network, plus interviews. So it's going to be really fun. So definitely check that out. And thanks so much, Cammy. You were a lifesaver today. I really appreciate it.
It was fun. Bye, everybody.
Bye.